Hey guys, and welcome back to Basic Murder Babes. I'm Sierra.
And I'm Kelsey.
And we have another mysterious death story for you.
Yay!
All right, before we get into that, I have two things. So, thing one, I feel like I need to reiterate or re-explain this because after taking down the first few bad audio episodes, I feel like our intentions here have been lost in translation. So, Basic Murder Babes is a podcast that is created by recording the phone call conversations of two friends. We call each other every week to discuss the latest crazy stories we've discovered online, in books, in movies, or in life. In the past, our recorded calls have occasionally consisted of one of us reading an article found online to the other. In these occurrences, we do not intend to claim these stories as our own, and you can always find the sources to the topics we have discussed listed in our show notes. We are very sorry if our intentions were not clear. This podcast is very casual. We refer to ourselves as being true crime podcast because that's what interests us, and that's what we talk about the majority of our phone call conversations. Even though we do put a lot of research and time into the things we discuss, it is research done to be able to discuss the topic with each other, not necessarily to formally report on the case. Our podcast is most definitely an entertainment podcast, in the sense that we are simply discussing our feelings on the true crime cases that we have stumbled upon. We do not recommend that you use our words as a source of factually based information. If you came here thinking this was a podcast written by journalists who are trying to give you important information to take with you in your life, you are at the wrong place. We are literally just discussing the things that we found that interest us. In the future, we plan to tell our own stories based on the information we stumble upon that was interesting so that you aren't hearing the same information you may have already seen somewhere else, because we want you listeners to be entertained. But again, we are not journalists. We do not claim to be. This is not a professional space. This is literally a recording of our video call discussion. If that's not what you want to hear, there are many other true crime podcasts that are much more professional, factual, and original that we have mentioned on social media. Check them out. Thing number two. I have a correction. If you're a patron, this will make sense to you. If you're not, please go to patreon.com/basicmurderbabes and donate $5 to hear our bonus calls, and then this will make sense to you. Last week we were talking about the stupidest ways people have died, and we mentioned a very young man who was so obsessed with personal hygiene that he died from a heart attack after using too much deodorant. My correction is that I said he had 36 times the lethal amount of butane per liter in his blood, and it was actually 3.6 times the lethal amount, not 36 times. I'm sure you mathematicians noticed this. I'm not a mathematician, and I noticed when I was editing, so I just wanted to clarify for you all that I am just a wee bit smarter than I sounded when I said that. Sorry. So now on to today's discussion. Wait, first, are you drinking? You drinking Mountain Dew?
Mountain Dew.
So, it's Sunday. We're recording on Sunday. It is literally the middle of the afternoon. It's 3:15, and I am drinking because it's Sunday, and most people say, because that's when football starts. Yay. I don't care too much about football, but there's hockey game on right now. That's important. And also, we're going to a friend's start of football party later or something like that. So, I'll be drinking there anyway. I thought I might as well start. I'm drinking a frosé. It's like the rosé wine frozen. It comes in little pouches.
Yeah.
And you put it in the freezer. It is really good. So, it's just like an icy of wine.
Yum.
So, in an effort to have a story today that would be even more mysterious than the last two, which was not easy, by the way. I am going to tell you about the still unsolved case of the Jameson family deaths. Have you heard it?
Oh my gosh, I don't know. It sounds interesting already, though.
Yeah, so, according to Wikipedia, this case was covered by a few other podcasts, some that I listened to, but I didn't really use any of the information because most of them I didn't really like the way the story was told, which I'll explain later. The one that covered the case whose information I did enjoy was And That's Why We Drink. I didn't use it as a source, though, because I couldn't find their sources to verify the information. This case was also on BuzzFeed's Unsolved True Crime, which I honestly did not know before deciding to cover this case. Like, when I saw it, I was like, really? I'm doing this again? Like, I did not mean to. I don't think it's an episode that's on their Hulu list. I didn't double check, but I've seen all of their episodes on Hulu, and I've never seen this one until I watched it for research. I watched it on YouTube, and it wasn't a very good episode, which hurts me to say because I love Shane and Ryan.
Yeah.
But it had, like, dramatized acting in it, which is super weird because they don't usually do that.
Yeah.
Anyway, the sources that I did use were aplenty. I used YouTube, WordPress, Pollform, and Academia, The Ghost Diaries, Wikipedia, Web Sleuths, Mysterious Universe, Asking a Lot, All That's Interesting, Talk Murder With Me, Medium, CNN, News 9, FBI.gov, Staff's Live, KJRH, K4, and USA Today. All of those sources are listed in the show notes in case anyone wants to check them out. Okay, this story has very many theories surrounding it. Even the investigator on this case said that most investigators would love having as many leads as he had for this case, but that every single one led him in a different direction and couldn't be disproved, so it just left all the theories. More questions than answers. Let's start with the incident, and then we'll get into all that. Bobby and Sherilyn Jameson lived in Eufaula, Oklahoma, and they had a 6-year-old daughter named Madison Stormy Star.
Cute! I love it.
Right? They had a shipping container storage shed thing that was on their property with their 2-story home, and they were planning on moving that storage shed to a big piece of land, about 40 acres, that they wanted to purchase to live in until they bought a house. So they were going to live in the storage shed thing. It's like, you know, one of those tiny house shipping containers.
Yeah.
They were going to live in this on 40 acres of land while they built a house. The family, mom, dad, daughter, and their dog Maisie, went on a trip one day to go check out the property that they were planning on purchasing. 8 days later, on October 16th, 2009, a truck was spotted on the side of the road with a dog inside. The police were called, they rescued the malnourished dog, and they realized that this car belonged to the Jameson family. But they were nowhere to be found. The friends and family were definitely concerned about the Jameson family, but they still had hope. Madison's school had already been informed that she would be moving soon, and it wasn't rare for the family to take off and get away for a little while. They enjoyed the outdoors, camping and hiking, and they were going to look at a large piece of property, so they were probably just out on their own little adventure after checking out the land. What was strange was that in the car, along with their beloved dog, police found all of the Jamesons' belongings that they'd normally have on their person. Sherilyn's purse and journal, Bobby's wallet, both their IDs and cell phones, their GPS, and $32,000 in cash.
Whoa, that's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
To just have laying in a car.
Yep, that you just walked away from?
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
On one of the cell phones, there was a picture taken of Madison in the woods, next to a boulder. I was going to send you this picture right now, but I'm not going to because I'm going to get into it later. The picture is used in a lot of theories, but I don't want to worry about the picture right now. I just want to focus on the story, and then I'll show you the picture.
Okay.
All right. The location where this picture was taken was not too far off from where the truck was found. So the police headed over there to check it out. It was just up the woodsy mountainside. Arriving there, the police found footprints in the dirt and the boulder where the picture was taken, but nothing else of interest. They couldn't even determine who the footprints belonged to or when they were made because it wasn't very distinct. Like, you could tell that there were footprints, but you couldn't tell, like, how many people had been walking or whose footprints they were.
Okay.
So the investigation gets a little more serious, and with help from over 1,000 volunteers from all around the small Latimer County of Oklahoma, they conducted search efforts around the location of the vehicle that next day on October 17th, 2009. No sign of the Jameson family or any foul play was discovered. The Jameson family remained missing for 4 years.
Wow.
In 2013, two deer hunters came across human bones in the woods. Police arrived and found the remains of Bobby, Sherilyn, and Madison, all laying face down, side by side. Their bones were just 2.7 miles away from where their truck had originally been found.
Jeez.
Not all of the bones were there, probably because animals had gotten to them, but without them, the cause of death was unable to be determined. The only thing of note was that there was a very small hole in the back of Bobby's skull. Maybe it was from a bullet, maybe it was just from an animal after death, no one knows. During further investigation of the vehicle, the Jamesons' two-story home, and interviews with people close to them, many strange leads came about. I am going to tell you about each strange thing that was uncovered as it relates to each theory, but first, what do you think so far?
I'm a little confused as to what happened. We'll definitely see, I'm sure, but, like, what happened? I'm so concerned. Like, for all three of them to be the same, pretty much, position, face down, only 2 miles away from their vehicle, like, what happened, you know?
Yeah. Okay, so, at this point in the story, people usually jump straight to, well, these were obviously crazy conservative hick preppers because they wanted to live in a storage shed on way too much land, and they had $32,000 in cash because they didn't trust the banks.
See, I didn't get any of that.
Yeah, it's because we're us, but you, okay, it's really disgusting how many people victim blamed in this case, because as I said in the beginning, this case is still unsolved. Okay. The manner of death is unsolved, meaning no one knows if it was accidental, homicide, suicide, or some other crazy mystery, and even the cause of death is still unsolved.
Dang.
So, most of the podcasts that I listened to about this, which is why I didn't use any of the information, that was all their theory, their very first theory, before even getting into the rest of the crazy stuff. They're like, oh, wow, you know, these darn hick preppers and their drugs and it's just, okay.
Okay.
Eye roll. Okay, yeah. Anyway. First, let me defend this accusation by saying that there is nothing crazy about being a prepper. I'm not saying that there are not crazy people who are preppers. There are most definitely crazy people who are preppers.
For sure.
But there are also crazy people who are not preppers. And there are also preppers who are not crazy people.
Mm-hmm.
Now that it's 2020, I bet everyone is wishing they had been prepared in the way that preppers were. I do. Anyway, now let me explain why these things do not prove at all that the family were even preppers in the first place. I know it's hard for people living in New York or California or any big city to believe, but wanting to have land is completely normal for other people.
Absolutely. Especially for, like, people that live in my area.
Exactly. I would kill to live on 40 acres of land. Not literally killed. Not literally killed, guys. But, yes, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
Also, just before this incident... Sorry, just a year before this incident. So this happened in 2009. In 2008, there was a huge housing market crash. So it's not strange to think that either the Jameson family or the seller of the property would rather have a cash transaction than go through a mortgage company. Sure. Like, people were scared to purchase things at the time because of the banks and everything that was going on.
Yeah, I don't blame them. I mean, some people just like cash.
Yeah, $32,000 is a lot of money, but there are people to this day who actually pay for things with cash instead of credit. Like,
absolutely.
Sorry to burst your guys' bubble. That's
especially
a thing.
Especially, like, with my line of work. I work for a car dealership. People come in every single day and buy vehicles, $30,000 vehicles, in straight cash. It's not something that's weird to us at all.
All right. I'm getting off track, but... actually, while we're off track anyway, let's take a quick break to hear about another amazing podcast. This is the promo for the If I Go Missing podcast.
Ooh!
Be right back.
Okay.
People go missing every day. And as more and more go missing, the pile of case files on that desk that some poor officer has to go through and try to bring answers to all of these families thickens. And as the pile thickens, cases get pushed to the back. And as cases get pushed to the back, some people's loved ones may remain missing forever. That's why this podcast is here. I want to give families a voice and tell the victims' stories so that we never forget, so that they're always in the media, and hopefully we can bring them home one day.
Okay, so let's get into the things and the theories. The first strange thing that I'm going to bring up is the camera footage from outside the Jameson family's two-story home the day they left. I told you earlier that the family packed up their truck and headed out 8 days before their car was found. It was October 8th, 2009, and the reason we know that is because they had a video camera in front of their home and it was recorded. So, first I'm going to show you the recording from YouTube. And I don't really know how to do this, but I'm going to try to do the screen share thing so you can watch it on here. So let's see if I can do it.
This is at their house? Mm-hmm.
That's the truck they were packing up. I know, you didn't get much from that. But what are your thoughts?
My thoughts are, okay, they're packing up this truck, but like, what about all the other cars and vehicles and things in their driveway? What are they going to do with that stuff?
That is very interesting.
I don't know.
All right. I am going to show you now the BuzzFeed Unsolved reenactment video of what is supposed to be happening. It's very dramatized, but I'm going to show it to you anyway because it's less grainy and it tells you, you know, what's supposed to be happening. So.
Okay.
All right, I'm just going to play the part, and then I'm going to pause it when it stops. Now, what do you think?
Where's the daughter?
Okay. So, let me explain.
Is she in the suitcase?
No. No, she was in the video. She wasn't in the reenactment. I'm not sure why. But,
okay, gotcha.
So, what is supposedly happening here in the real video is, apparently, Bobby and Sherilyn were packing and then unpacking the car over and over again.
Okay, I didn't catch that at all. I was looking at everything around us.
Yes, they would take something from the house, put it in the car, like set it down, and then pick it right back up and take it back in the house. And then do it again.
What?
Same things. Apparently they did this multiple times. They also changed clothes multiple times. Within this, like, 1 hour period. In the first video that's really grainy, you see a yellow shirt, which is Sherilyn, and a white shirt, which is Bobby. But then you also see a brown shirt, which apparently is also Bobby. Like, why did he change his shirt? And then you see the white shirt again. So it was like he came out in white, went back, came out in brown, went back, came out in white.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't catch any of that.
Yeah. And then they would just stand there. So what I was trying to show you in the BuzzFeed video, which was hard to know without them talking about it, they would just do this, you know, robotic-like movement, and then all of a sudden just stop and stand there and stare at each other. Just stare, like, into nothingness for a couple minutes at a time, like they were in a daze. And even Madison is seen in the real video, walking out to the truck and then just standing there staring at the truck. None of the family talked to each other during the entire packing experience. They were completely silent the whole time. Fucking
so
creepy, right?
Yeah.
What is happening? So a psychologist or something forensic watched the video for the police, and they said that in this video, the behavior resembled the actions of people who were high on meth. So, the first theory here, based on the meth accusation, the money found in the car, and the storage shed, is that the Jameson family were involved with drugs. There are a couple different ways that this story goes. Of course, there's this version that the storage shed was going to be used as a meth lab. But then there's a version that the Jamesons were selling pills because Bobby had recently been in a car accident and he was taking pills for back pain. And then there's a version where they were actually going to this location to buy drugs instead of to sell them. Any way you slice it, drugs being involved in the Jameson family disappearance doesn't make sense to me because the money was still there. If drugs were involved in any way in their disappearance, you'd think the person they were meeting would take the money.
Absolutely.
Also, there was no sign of a struggle or anything at the truck, and no sign of drug abuse of any kind at their home. So, like, they searched the home for drugs. There's not even, like, you know, a spoon to heat up, whatever. Yeah. I don't know how that works. Anyway.
I don't either.
So, yeah, I don't buy this theory, but that is, you know, the theory, because that's what hick preppers would do, right?
I guess, but, like, what?
All right, the next theory.
This is so confusing.
It's confusing to everyone, even the police, so don't think you're gonna get, like, an answer at the end, okay? This is still unsolved.
Oh, great. Yeah.
The reason why the Jamieson family had even installed the cameras at their home in the first place is allegedly because Bobby was afraid of his father. Bobby had a restraining order against his father. I don't know much about the reasoning, except that they weren't on good terms ever since his parents' divorce. There were money issues between Bobby and his father after his father and his mother split up because Bobby was now not going to be getting the things that was, you know, once promised him by his parents. Like, oh, this business is going to, you know, stay in the family. You're going to run the business. And now his dad's like, no, this is mine now. Something like that. So now there's, God, what is my voice doing right now? Did you hear that?
Yeah, theories.
So now there's a theory that his father may have killed the family. However, his father was a pretty old man and not really in good enough health to be killing. He was actually in a nursing home at the time of the incident. So again, I don't buy this one.
Yeah.
All right. Next, we have a rumor, I guess. Apparently, the Jamesons were renting out a room in their two-story home to a man for a little while. The man was helping them with heavy lifting around the home because of Bobby's back pain. Well, this man was allegedly a part of the KKK.
Whoa.
Yeah. Sherilyn, being part Native American, again, this is all alleged, allegedly got into an argument with this man and eventually forced him to leave her house at gunpoint. So she's like, fucking enough of you and your bullshit, get the fuck out of my house.
Yeah.
Also, after the Jamieson family's story was aired on an episode of Disappeared, someone called in a tip that they had seen Bobby and Sherilyn Jamieson's name on a hit list for a KKK group. I didn't know they had hit lists.
But either.
At the same time, I have no idea what's going on there. Let's go back to the picture. All right, so I'm going to pull up the picture now. Remember, this is the last picture ever taken of Madison.
Okay.
Okay, so this is the picture next to the boulder where the footprints were found eventually. This was the picture taken on Bobby's cell phone, the cell phone that was in the car that was parked right at the bottom of this cliff.
Okay.
So, Madison's grandparents believe that she was extremely uncomfortable in this picture and that someone else must have been there at the time. So, what do you think about the picture?
Yeah, she does look uncomfortable. Not trying to judge, but she looks a little...
unkempt?
Yes. Yeah. So, I don't know if that's an indication of anything, but...
yeah.
That was my first... like, sighting, like, just...
Yeah, I get that. In my opinion, sometimes kids just aren't super happy after a big hike. I have two kids who enjoy hiking, and I take them hiking all the time. If they get hungry or thirsty or hot, which is, like, always, they get grumpy, and they look grumpy in pictures.
True.
But I don't know this little girl, like, her grandparents do, so I don't know. Anyway, so this theory is that either the man that was living in their house killed them, or another KKK member killed them, or a white supremacy cult group other than the KKK killed them. The man that lived in their house was actually in jail at the time, so he didn't do it. And again, there was no evidence of a struggle. The dog and all their belongings were still in the car. The phone that had the picture on it was in the car, so they would have had to gone up to the hike spot with this bad person, come back down to the car, and then go to the murder spot, or the killers just replaced their phones in the truck after killing them, but didn't let the dog out and didn't take their money.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. The money thing doesn't make any sense.
Exactly. I can't make it make sense, but then again, you know, nothing about white supremacists makes sense. So, no. So this theory, in my opinion, I guess it can't be ruled out. You just never know with these people. So.
Yeah.
Next theory. In the truck with all of the Jameson family's belongings was an 11-page note written by Sherilyn to Bobby. This letter was apparently a vicious hate letter about how Bobby was boring or a hermit or something.
Hmm.
Also, Sherilyn owned a gun, and it was allegedly packed in the car, but it was never found. So, from this, there's a whole theory that either Sherilyn killed him and their daughter and then killed herself, or that Bobby killed Sherilyn and their daughter and then himself. Murder-suicide, but no one can decide who was the murderer.
Right.
The parents of both Bobby and Sherilyn think that this is a ridiculous story, and they'd know if something was wrong in the marriage. Personally, I have written angry letters just to get it off my chest and then did nothing with the letter, just threw it away. It's better than keeping it bottled up. So I can see this letter meaning absolutely nothing. But
yeah.
I can also see Bobby finding this letter that he wasn't supposed to see and being upset by it.
Sure. Yeah.
The only issue I have with this theory is that only Bobby's skull had a very small hole in it, and it was on the back of his head. So either he shot both of the girls, like, in the chest, so you couldn't see it on bones, and then shot himself in the back of the head, or Sherilyn shot him in the back of the head, and then shot her daughter in the chest, and then herself in the chest. Like, who shoots themselves in the back of the head? Who shoots himself in the chest? And then also, where did the gun go? And why wasn't it found
it
with the bodies?
It would have been there. Yeah.
So I just don't get that one. Another theory is that they just got lost in the woods and succumbed to the elements. But the temperatures...
I don't feel
yeah,
that
no.
one.
The temperatures never drop below 40 degrees. So, like, it's survivable. Also,
sure.
If this were the case, they wouldn't have all died at the same time lying right next to each other. Like, that's not how starvation or even freezing works.
Exactly.
And again, why would they put their phones back in the car and then go back to the mountain? So
why would they leave their car in general if that was the issue?
Right. This is the least believed theory, but I still wanted to mention it.
Yeah.
Okay. You know I like to save the best for last.
Always.
Here is the craziest information of it all. I'm not really sure how to give all of this information, so I'm just gonna throw it out there. Let me take a drink.
Kay.
Need to prepare. All right. Remember that storage shed I told you was on their property?
Yes.
Well, it had some graffiti spray painted on it while they were still living in the house. I haven't been able to verify who wrote it, but most people speculate that Sherilyn wrote it herself. And it says, quote, "Three cats killed here by people in this area. Witches don't like their black cats killed." End quote.
What the fuck?
Right?
Okay.
Allegedly, Sherilyn also told people in the neighborhood that she was a witch.
Hmm. Same, girl,
right?
Same.
There was also a witch's Bible in the Jameson home that Sherilyn's friend Nikki said they bought as a joke.
Yeah.
And Nikki also said that she and Sherilyn tried to have seances many times, and that the Jameson family home was definitely haunted with a dark presence.
Damn.
Here's the weirder part. The family was actually really religious in their Christian faith. Sherilyn had a journal that allegedly had a bunch of ramblings in it, but also had a bunch of Bible verses in it. Their pastor said to the police that Bobby had told him that there was a dead family of spirits living in the house, and that 6-year-old Madison was always talking to the child spirits. Mm. Nikki said that Sherilyn used to leave notes around the house that said, "Get out, Satan," because of these evil spirits living in their home.
Creepy.
The pastor also told the police that Bobby told him in a confession that he had been reading a satanic Bible, and also that Bobby once asked him where he could find special bullets that he could use to shoot spirits. What are you thinking?
What the fuck is going on right now?
Yeah.
Special bullets. That sounds like super. Like we're watching Supernatural, you know?
Right. Yes.
What? I mean, like, okay, but what?
Here is what I have concluded from this.
Yeah.
And this is complete speculation, but this is what I think.
Okay.
I think Sherilyn was weird in the same way that we're weird.
Sure.
My daughter legitimately thinks that I'm a witch because I can open, like, childproof medicine and shit. Like, she is so amazed. I tell her all the time that I'm a witch.
Yeah, I tell my kids all the time that, too.
Anyway, she and Nikki were both weird. They got a witch Bible and summoned some spirits as a joke and accidentally invited evil spirits into the Jameson home.
Sure.
Then, to try to fight against the evil in their home, Bobby started reading a satanic Bible to see if there was anything in here to stop it. But, you know, he wasn't doing anything bad. He confessed to his pastor that this is what was happening. When that didn't work, he asked about the special bullets and discovered that that does not exist.
Yeah.
Sorry. So, Bobby and Sherilyn saved up some money to get out of that evil house as soon as possible, even if that meant living in a storage container until the new house was built.
Okay.
That's my theory.
I think you're spot on.
So, what does that have to do with their death? Well, that part is sort of hard to explain. So, the strange packing and unpacking and staring at the car, what if they weren't on meth, but possessed?
Yeah.
What if some evil force sent them to the location where their car was? So, the Jameson family truck was found on the 35th degree latitude line, also known as one of the lines of tragedy. Have you ever heard about the line of tragedy phenomena?
Oh my god.
This part right here is what made me look into this case. I saw something about 35th degree and I was like, this is it. That's my story. So, the line of tragedy is a conspiracy, from what I can tell anyway. There's this supposed psychic blogger named Salog, who allegedly has been predicting tragedies in certain areas over certain periods of time all over the world. And I was on his website. It's Salog.com, S-O-L-L-O-G. I was on there for all of 2 seconds, and I was like, I can't do it, because it was, like, so, like, creepy and satanic culty, and also at the same time, like, conspiracy, like, in a weird way. Like, he claims he predicted coronavirus and many other things.
Oh,
many things. I didn't double check it, but, like, he literally wrote in there, go look in my post from 2004. I predicted this was going to happen. I didn't check it because he's probably a psychopath.
Yeah.
But anyway, this part of it, which is not only his theory, it's many people are talking about this. Anyway, it's really interesting. So, this part gets really confusing because no one in criminal reporting actually gives the exact latitude and longitude of each incident. Like, that's not a normal thing that's talked about. We're not like,
right. Yeah.
You know, at this degree, this person was killed. Nobody talks about that.
No.
So, hang on, let me get my hair out of my face.
Also, my ghost is, like, really just loving it today. I'm pretty sure you're...
Really?
I'm sure you're gonna hear him all the whole recording. Oh,
man. You a-hole.
I know.
So, I had to dig deep for these cases and also verify them on the Nat Geo map maker. to ensure that they were actually happening on the 35th degree latitude. Because there's a lot of cases when people are like, oh, look at all this stuff that happened, but some of them didn't happen there.
Yeah.
So, I did verify these ones. And here are some of the strange things that I have found to happen on the 35th degree latitude line. On April 19th, 1995, Timothy McVeigh committed mass murder when he bombed the federal building in downtown Oklahoma City, killing 168 people and injuring about 700 others. In September of 2005, Stephen Cook was on vacation with some friends and family in Malia, Crete. He had gone bar hopping, but at some point in the night, I can hear him this time.
Yeah.
Go away! Jeez, you a-hole. He had gone bar hopping, but at some point in the night, he said he wanted to go to the hotel because he wasn't feeling well. He and a friend started walking back, and they made a quick stop at one more bar so that Stephen could go to the bathroom. That was the last time his friend saw him. Stephen remained a missing person for 12 years.
Whoa.
With people claiming to have seen him as a homeless beggar now and again, but in 2017, his remains were found in the bottom of a well. Not all of his bones were there, and no cause of death, manner of death, or time of death could be identified.
Hmm.
On August 23rd, 2009, and this was August, this was 2 months before the Jameson family went missing, a Reverend Carol Daniels was found at her church in Oklahoma, murdered in a crucifix-like position.
Mm.
She was naked, stabbed multiple times, her head almost completely severed off, and her hair burned.
Ooh.
There was no murder weapon or forensic evidence found. Although police have had a few suspects, this case was never able to be brought to trial, and therefore it remains unsolved. On July 7th, 2013, Tommy Estep went missing after visiting his family in Eufaula, Oklahoma. Eufaula is the same place where the Jamesons were from.
Mm-hmm.
A few months later, his truck was spotted an hour away, and inside of the truck were his keys, wallet, money, and everything except for Tommy. Investigators searched the area, but there was no sign of him. In April of 2017, Tommy's skeletal remains were found right next to where his truck was found almost 4 years ago. No cause of death or manner of death was ever released. That one is literally identical to the Jamesons.
I was just about to say that.
All of the stuff in this truck, they searched the area, didn't find anything.
And then boom.
4 years later, right there where the truck was.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Very.
Okay, so that's the last one that I have. I did want to mention, there is a whole book about the 37th degree latitude being known as the highway for UFO activity, because so many people have seen UFOs there. Could the 35th degree latitude be the highway for satanic or paranormal activities?
Mm.
Or maybe even mind control?
Do, 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 do.
Exactly. All right, that's the end of my mysterious death. Yeah, it's still a mystery. No one knows how or what the fuck happened.
Yeah, that's fucking crazy.
It is insane.
I just can never wrap my mind around how somebody just dies and no one knows what happened, you know?
Yeah. Yes, I do. It's insane. Crazy. Hey, do we have any questions this week?
No questions this week.
No questions? No Gosh, questions. Listeners, what are you doing? Do you want to read the new reviews?
Yes, I'd love to.
Also, I found two more websites where you can leave reviews, but I checked and we don't have any, so no big deal.
Okay.
Let me double check now, but yeah.
I'm ready, spaghetti.
All right, go ahead.
Okay.
Tell us who they're from.
So for the first one, this is from The Dormouse, and they said, so fun. Love this podcast. Well, we love you.
We love you
so
lots.
Sweet. So the next one is from Hello and No, And they said, excellent. Love this show. Always keeps me interested and always looking forward to new episodes. Cannot recommend enough. And this is from Tabby from Your New Best Friends podcast. So we really appreciate you.
Love it. Yes. Thank you so much. I hope you like this episode too.
Yes.
Here's your fix.
And these are all 5 stars, by the way. I didn't say that. So this is from maybe Fudget Review. And this says, this show is exactly the type of podcast to love to listen to. Check it out. So, and they said it was amazing. So thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
I love reviews.
I'm so glad. Me too. I'm so glad you're liking it.
Yeah.
Really, I am. Also, we have way more listeners than reviews, so what are you guys doing?
For sure. Like,
it takes 5 seconds.
Yes.
Come on.
Help us
go
out.
Go leave us a review. Yeah. A review.
You don't even have to write anything. You could just leave us a little 5 stars. Do you have anything happy to talk about today?
No.
Okay.
I stayed up till 2:30 in the morning doing my homework and writing this story. So
nice.
And then I slept in until noon.
Love it. I slept until 11.
That's my life.
So it was awesome.
Yeah.
I want to talk about something.
Okay, tell me.
Okay, so I don't know if you know about her. She's my queen, though. I posted on Instagram, on our Instagram, and I've been posting on Snapchat because I haven't...
The makeup girl?
Uh-huh. I haven't recently discovered her, but I've recently gotten more into her where, like, I literally watch it every single day. I watch her episodes every single day. So her name is Bailey Sarian. And she does murder mystery makeup Mondays. And so she does true crime and makeup. So, like, literally,
so cool.
Two of my favorite things.
Yes.
Into one person. So I love her so much. I think that you guys should go watch her. It's on YouTube. And like I said, she does murder mystery makeup Mondays. So every Monday she has a new video out. She talks and tells you the story in her own words, which I think is really cool because, like, you know, you hear it differently when somebody's just, like, talking in their own words, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think she's pretty cool. And I made this sweatshirt and it says suspish. See? And she says suspish all the time. Everything's suspish. So,
yeah.
I just had to talk about her today and wear her sweatshirt, so.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah. Check her out.
I don't, as you can see, patrons, you know, my makeup is not a thing that I do very much. But
mine is, as you
Kelsey's
can
is always look banging.
That nice up close and personal.
Yes. All right, well, I think that is all for today, so. Until next time,
peace over murder.
Peace over murder.
Bye, guys.